The Rebbe put on his coat and said goodbye to his mother, the Rebbetzin Steiner Sara, to his wife, Rebbetzin Nechama Dina, and to his daughters, Chana, Chaya Mushka, and Shaina, and then gave a bracha to the other members of the house and got ready to leave. The Rebbe kissed the mezuzah and sat down on one of the benches. Officer Lulav and his helpers, the armed soldiers, surrounded the Rebbe from all sides, just like they do to a prisoner. The Rebbe took along with him several things. He took along the tefillin, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Shimush Rabba, also a talis and a gartel. The Rebbe also took along Sfarim, a Siddur, a Tehillim, a Tanya, and other personal things. They were all placed in one bag, like a sack which is used for people who travel. On the sack, there were letters that were printed Shin Shin in the German language. This was a sack that the Rebbe Rashab used to use when he would travel to different places. Also a blanket the Rebbe took with him. The Rebbe did not want to carry the bag by himself, so he gave it to one of the armed soldiers. Lulav jumped up and he grabbed the bag from the armed soldier and said, "Git mir dem pekel, ich will ihm tragen. Chassidim bleiben Chassidim. Mein Seide hat getragen die Peklach bei Eierseiden, und ich will tragen Eierpekel." He said, "Give me the bag. I'll carry it. Chassidim still remain Chassidim. My grandfather carried the bags for your grandfather, and I will carry your bag." Means to say that his Zayda was a chassid from the Rebbe Maharash, the Friedeke Rebbe's grandfather, and used to help the Rebbe Maharash. And therefore he, Lulav, wants to carry the Rebbe's pekel. The Rebbe took back the bag from Lulav's hands and said to him, "Ayer Zayde is a chassid. Hat zeuche gewen, tragen mein Zaydens peklach, wie hin mein Zayde is gegangen. Ihr wilt tragen den pekel, ich soll gehen chas für Shalom wie hin ihr wilt? Nein, das kann nicht sein. In eier Weg will ich nicht gehen. Emes, Chassidim bleiben Chassidim." The Rebbe said to him, "Your grandfather is a chassid, so he had the schus to carry the packages for the Rebbe Maharash, where the Rebbe Maharash wanted to go. You want to carry my package that I should go chas v'shalom where you want me to go? No, that cannot be. I will not follow you in your ways. True, chassidim remain chassidim." And so the Rebbe took back his package from Lulav and gave it over to the armed soldier like he gave it before. Then the Rebbe kissed the mezuzah of the house and left, accompanied by the armed soldiers who were surrounding him from all sides. As they began walking down the stairs, the Rebbe could hear the voices of his family begging for permission to accompany him to the van. The Rebbe turned around and saw an armed guard holding back the family and not letting them go. The Rebbe called out to Lulav and asked him, "Why don't you allow them to go and accompany me? Do you have permission for this, what you're doing?" The Rebbe's strong voice and clear words made a strong impression, and Lulav told the armed soldier that he should move aside and allow the family to follow and accompany the Rebbe. And now they were all walking together. In fact, the Rebbe was now able to speak even a few more words with one of the members of the family. In the courtyard, outside, everything was quiet. Nobody was there except for the Rebbe's family and the guards and their officers, Nachmanson and Lulav. "Now over here," says Nachmanson, "you're going to have to say goodbye to each other. I'm not going to let you go outside into the street. You'll all have to stay here in the courtyard of this house. And now you can kiss each other goodbye with all of your manners. This is what Nachmanson said, with a laughter of like trying to take revenge. It's not nice, the Rebbe said to Nachmanson, for an officer of your position, especially someone who cares so much, to make me sign a paper that your search was done according to the law. So a person like you should not allow the family to go out from the house to accompany me? Here Nachmanson already got angry and he said, go! It seems like you still can't get used to the situation that you are a prisoner and you must obey the command of an authorized official. Who is the official? The Rebbe asked. And what is the command? You can clearly see that as much as you're trying, you cannot frighten me. I'm still not afraid. So please allow them to go out and to accompany me. They all moved aside, and everyone came out from the courtyard to the sidewalk outside. The van was standing over there, surrounded by armed guards. The Rebbe noticed from across the street from the big clock store, and on the clock, it said that it was 20 minutes after 2 past midnight. Yes, 2 hours and 10 minutes of suffering, of aggravation, of fear for the whole family. For what? Because of a plot. Because of the strengthening of Yiddishkeit. Because of the strengthening of Torah. For a few moments, everyone stood together, and then one of the armed guards helped the Rebbe get into the van. The Rebbe sat down on the place that they showed him. Right in front of the Rebbe, facing him, Lulav was sitting as a guard, and Nachmanson was sitting in the front seat near the driver. The guard sitting in front of the Rebbe was holding a rifle in his hand. The Rebbe called out to his family and said, Seid gesund und stark bei sich. Be well and strong by yourself. Und der Eibischte soll uns helfen, and Hashem should help us. Bekarov zenzich gesundheit. To see each other very soon in good health. And it was at this moment that the van pulled away and drove away to Spalerka. When they came finally to Spalerka, the van stopped right in front of the big building. The Rebbe was told to get out. In front of him walked Nachmanson, and 2 new guards showed up, and they stood on both sides of the Rebbe, and on the back of the Rebbe stood Lulav. They led the Rebbe straight through the entrance of the Spalerka. Coming in, there was a big, big yard right in the middle of the building. The Rebbe described what the building was like. It was a 6-floor building, and it surrounded the yard from all 4 sides. Each side that surrounded the yard had like 2 or 3 entrances. The yard was empty. Nobody was there, except for the guards standing by the entrance. Nachmanson was hurrying. He was going very fast. He had to wait for me, because I was going very slow. My legs were hurting me, Loyalenu, and I was in no rush to go. Even before I came in, I began demanding from Nachmanson that he should keep his promise about the tefillin and the tefillah. We started to walk up the steps, going from one flight to the next, step by step, resting once in a while between each flight. It was very hard for me to go. We're walking up the steps towards the offices of the GPO. Nachmanson is walking in front of me, and he turns around to me with a red face, and he says to me, you have not even stepped over into the office to do what you have to do,
And you're coming with your demands already? How surprising this is. It seems like you don't want to realize your real situation. You don't know the rules of this prison? First you have to go into the office, and then you're going to be given a questionnaire. You're going to have to fill out answers to every single question that's there. And then finally, when you'll be brought into your jail room, there you will be able to do your prayers. It seems like to me that in a short time, you'll forget all about these things. And then you're going to start realizing what's your true situation, and you're going to stop asking for these foolish things. Forget that you are Schneerson, who is honored by those who pray. You're just a plain, simple person who is being punished with imprisonment or with other punishments for the kind of crimes that you have committed.
I did not answer anything, says the Rebbe. I just gave him a very sharp look that I saw went right through and through him. This was the best answer that I could have given him. Then Nachmanson turned to Lulav and said,
So what do you think? Once this honorable citizen, who has been for decades of years enjoying the best riches of this country, is going to now be brought into the Spalerka jail, he's not going to like the smell of the black bread and the kasha. There he's going to leave alone all of his pride. There before the table, he will speak. There he's going to express. There he's going to answer. Isn't it so, honorable citizen?
I made believe that I don't hear what he's talking with, Lulav. And I said to Nachmanson, Where is your promise? You promised me honestly, as a officer of the GPO, that you are going to allow me to put on tefillin and to daven. Why haven't you told me in my apartment that you won't let me daven? Who held you back from telling the truth? From whom were you afraid? And why did you promise me so faithfully? Is this the way an officer of the GPO acts? Nachmanson just had a big laugh on his face, filled with a feeling of revenge. And then I noticed that this Nachmanson is acting now like a different person. It is not the same Nachmanson like who he was in my apartment. This is not the same Nachmanson who was standing in the yard. Now he's acting as the officer of the GPO, whose job is to throw a fear and a fright on the prisoners, to bring them to a situation of confusion, to scare them and frighten them, because then they will be able to rule over them easier and get them to admit on things that they have never done. It was at this moment that I remembered what it says in the Sefer of Reishis Chachma, talking about Gehenim, where it says that Rebbe Lazar says that there are two groups of malachim that stand on the gate of Gehenim and says, Come, come. Yes, the Rebbe is comparing his situation like someone who's standing in front of Gehenim, and the malachim are telling him, Come in, come in. We took a few more steps, and Nachmanson opened up a door that leads to a long hallway, which finally brings you to the office of the GPO. When Nachmanson opened up the door, he whistled to one of the guards, and he said to him, Take this citizen! And he gave him a piece of paper, and he said to the guard, Here are his records. Accompany him to the office of the GPO and give over these papers to them. Then Nachmanson turned to me and said, Now you'll begin understanding where you really are. And before he even finished his words, he rushed down the steps to catch up with his friend Lulav, who went down before him. It seemed like they were in quite a rush to take care of some important work that they have to do yet. The guard leads me and shows me with his finger to go straight. I should just walk ahead through the long hallway until the end, where I will see a door open wide. He tells me that over there I should go to one of the secretaries, who is going to give me a questionnaire, a sheet of paper with many questions, and I have to write down the answers to all the questions. Here the Rebbe described what this long hallway looked like. The hallway was a very long one, more than 80 feet long. It was about 6.5 feet wide, and on both sides of this hallway, along the walls, there were doors that were locked. And about every 15 feet, there was a little light hanging from the ceiling. Along the whole wall, there were like 10 or 12 armed soldiers standing. Each one of these soldiers had hanging on the back of him a spear, in his left hand a sharp sword, and in his right hand a rifle. They stood there as if they were statues. They did not move. Only their eyes kept on looking in all directions. Anyone who would see this can surely get frightened. Any normal person will not understand, why do we need so much ammunition for? For whom? And where can you find such people who have such bad midos that they can use these ammunition? Can a person turn into such a wild beast that the only way to straighten his ways is with these ammunition? The quietness, the darkness, the blackness of the walls, the small lights, the destroying statues, the way their bodies were built, very big and strong and husky. They were very tall, broad shoulders, the marks on their faces, their red and black clothes, and their ammunition. Everything together can frighten and confuse anyone who looks at it. The heart trembles. Yes, it was between these people that I had to walk through the entire hallway. And as I'm walking towards the end of the hallway, a thought came to my mind, a question. Where am I going? And for what purpose am I going? What am I supposed to do? And what's going to be the end of this? And as if I'm answering myself, a clear answer, with no question. I am walking now straight to the doorway, which was completely wide open for any prisoner, just like the guard at the entrance of this hallway told me to do. Yes, he told me very clearly that I have to go into that room and write down the answers to all the questions. And after that, what's going to be? Well, after that most probably what Nachmanson promised is going to happen. They're going to bring me to a place where a person speaks either willingly or by force. And here I'm walking slowly through the hallway, and I think to myself, yes, this is like what's written in the Sefer Eishes Chachma, where it describes the first section of Gehenim.